This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Hello, this is Rob Randall. We're so grateful that you've tuned in today. Thank you for your time. We want you to know that we have been praying for you, and we're asking the Lord to be our guide. He is our guide into all truth, and it is through receiving His truth into the secret places you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let me lead us in prayer. Now, Lord, we thank you for this study of the invisible war. We thank you for the study of your word that teaches us these eternal matters. We pray, Lord, that every hindrance would be removed, every cover, block, every thwart, every assignment that would come against us from receiving your truth that can set us free would be removed by the finger of God. May the heavens be open. May the atmosphere be clean. Lord, may our hearts be receptive for the work of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we pray this in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Get your Bibles ready. You may want to have a pad and a pen so you can take good notes. Let's get to the study. Where we left off last time in the Invisible War.
There are all kinds of ministries that are good and wonderful within the church, but they have nothing to do with the cross. There's all kinds of busyness that we can do in the church that's noble and wise and good, but it has nothing to do with bringing folks to the end of themselves. It is at the cross that we come to realize it is either all of Jesus or none of Jesus. It is all of God or none of God. It is at the cross where man comes to realize that all of his education means nothing. It is at the cross. It is only at the cross. And even Christian counselors, it amazes me, folks, how many counselors in the area of trying to help folks do not take them to the cross. It is at the cross. It is through the blood of Calvary that we find our healing, that we find deliverance. So is it any wonder that the enemy tries to get us to establish our lives short of the cross of Christ? He's called the devil, diabolos. The word here means the one who separates, or the one who causes separation through condemnation, through accusation. The accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12, 10, 1 Timothy 3, 6 through 7. And by the way, that's the most used name for him in the New Testament, diabolos. Have you ever been a part of a church where because of a false accusation, people began to take sides? I work with 26 to 30 pastors a year. You add that up over the many years that I've been traveling. I've seen it over and over and over again. Whenever you find a false accusation, my father used to put it this way. He says, you know what's wrong with a half-truth? We always want to believe the wrong half. And that's true, isn't it? We want to believe the junk. We want to believe the dirt. That's the flesh in us. And when the enemy plants those matters among us, and all of a sudden you see a great division in the church, people whining and griping and carrying on, you will find diabolos. That's the work of the enemy. How tragic this is in light of the prayer for Christ's church when he said, as he prayed to the Father, that they may be one. Even thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that thou also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Satan is Diabolos. The great dragon, the old serpent. We find that in the Old Testament. We find it in Genesis. I guess the most recognizable witch of our time, fortune teller, is Jean Dixon. Do you know where she got her power? She's the one that foretold of John F. Kennedy's assassination and that propelled her into world prominence. She claims to be a Christian. She is a practicing Catholic. She claims to be a good witch, a white witch, if you please, a fortune teller. She believes her gifts came from God. And by the way, I've never known a witch that didn't believe that. Never in my life. Most of them always believe it's of God. They are so deceived. And so, you know how she got her power? Let me read it to you. Jean Dixon tells of an experience without which, quote, she would not have been able to interpret the more enlightening visions that were to follow. A snake crawled in bed with her. She says, as a snake gradually entwined itself around my chest, I could see its head but not its eyes. While I watched, it slowly turned its eyes and gazed into mine. In them was the all-knowing wisdom of the ages. I sensed that it was telling me that if my faith was great enough, I could penetrate some of this divine wisdom. A snake crawled into bed with her. That's where she got her powers. His name is the old serpent, Satan himself. He's the deceiver. He's the arch-deceiver. Revelation 12, 9, 13, 14, and 23, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast. He is deceiver. He is the evil one. This name refers to the intrinsically wicked one who is corrupt in and of himself. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer, when the Lord told us, deliver us from evil, you know what the Lord is telling us? There's an article in front of that evil. He's telling us, deliver us from Satan. Deliver us from the evil one. In the Lord's Prayer, if you'll look into the Greek, it is specifically praying against or for deliverance from the enemy. He's called Satan. This common title is referred to 52 times in the Bible. It means adversary or one who opposes God. He's called the angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Can you imagine that? We get the idea that we can figure all this out on our own. That somehow we had the ability to handle this. That somehow in our understanding and in our education, folks, you can't. Satan is so crafty. And by the way, he's had thousands and thousands of years to study mankind. He knows exactly where you, where your family, where me and my family falls. He knows it. He's seen it over and over and over again. He can become an angel of light. And unless you are filled with the Spirit, unless I am walking in the Spirit of Christ, if there is an ounce of flesh that is not crucified to the cause of Christ in my life, I will be deceived. And so will you. He's called the liar, or the father of lies. John 8:44. For you, the father of the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In this word, we see the true nature of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not, hear me, an issue of power. The power issue has already been settled at Calvary. The enemy has already been defeated, as we shall see. We're not trying to find more power. Those of us who are saved have all the power that is needed to conquer sin and Satan in our lives. That's not the issue. The issue of spiritual warfare is the conflict between the lies of the enemy and whether or not we're willing to believe the truth of God. Now, how do you know what a lie is? How can we know, Rob, what a lie is? This is the only truth you can know. This is it. Everything that you have learned, everything that I have learned, every thought that I have must be filtered through the Word of Almighty God. Or we'll continue to be deceived. Spiritual warfare is a conflict between the lies of the enemy and the truth of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's called the roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Again, he's not trying to eat your lunch. He's trying to eat you for lunch. By the way, the Apostle Paul talked to the church at Corinth and told them that the cemetery was full of folks that weren't supposed to die yet. That the church had buried their members because they had partaken of the Lord's Supper with sin in their lives. So once again, this is a matter of life and death, folks. This is not just about a Bible study you can pick up or reject. This is about life or death. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's called the thief. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. It is past time, folks, for the church to wake up spiritually. We are asleep. My generation has been asleep in these matters. And we are losing our children because of it. Not only are we losing our kids, now that they're beginning to have their children, we're going to lose that group as well. If we don't wake up and recognize that we are in a battle of life and death, it is necessary. He is a thief. Now, I like to say we need to plug in our IBMs. You know what that is? Your itty-bitty mind. How do I know liquor is of the devil? How do I know that? Because it steals and kills and destroys. That's how I know it. How do I know that sex outside of marriage is of the devil? How do I know that? Is it just my opinion? No. It steals, kills, and destroys. How do I know abortion cannot be of God no matter what the circumstance? How do I know that? How can I declare from the housetops that that's true? Because it steals and kills and destroys. How do I know that divorce is not of God? How do I know that? Because it steals and kills and destroys. You can justify it any way you want to. It is still not justified. The truth of the matter is, little Johnny may not just be going through a phase. If it steals, kills, and destroys, it's a work of the enemy in his life. I find an amazing passage in James chapter 3, verse 11 through 12. Does a fountain send from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. What I have learned in all of these matters, and if you just learn this, you'll learn a lot. Wherever there's a rotten fruit, there's a rotten root. Wherever there's a rotten fruit in your life, there's a work of the enemy behind it. Now, it may be well hidden. By the way, he does hide. He doesn't want to be known. Are you kidding? We have two images of one who is demonized. We have the Gadarene demoniac here. One is among the tombs, naked and breaking chains. And I call him the wild homeless guy. That's the way we would refer to him, just nutty homeless guy, right? And so if you go down the street, you see one of these long-haired, wild homeless guys, you say, well, that might be one. Huh? Isn't that the way we think? Or maybe your image is, I hope you never saw this movie, but as college students we did. I wish we hadn't. But we saw The Exorcist. And maybe it's the picture of Linda Blair twirling her head and cursing God and cursing the priest and spitting green pea soup in the priest and all these blasphemies. Well, and that may be the case, but let me tell you something, folks. The enemy hides. He doesn't want to be known. He doesn't want you to know he's there. For you see, if he exposes himself, if he manifests, then you got him. You know it's there. So he hides. So how do we know when a demon is present? First of all, let me say God's the only one that can tell you. It's called discernment. Discernment is simply listening to God. It's the ability to hear from Him. And I must tell you, I've never been very good at that, but I'm learning. Because if you don't hear from Him, deliverance is about Him. It's not about us. He tells you what to do, where to go, and how to handle this. Let me just simply say to you that if you find in your family a child who has rotten fruit, there's a rotten root. The enemy is at work. Well, let's look at the dangers of the devil. Martin Luther said, "Is Satan's craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. No good soldier would ever go into battle without knowing all he can about his enemy." We have a formidable enemy in Satan and his forces of darkness. He is more cunning and wicked than you can imagine. It is impossible, I believe, for us to get our mental capacity around the evil of Satan. So don't try to be intrigued. If you're here because you're intrigued, this is not the room for you. Curiosity will just get you hurt. If you don't want to do the study, if you don't want to do the cleansing in your own life to let the Lord cleanse you so you'll know how to pray and work together with the Holy Spirit of God in these matters, again, curiosity can get you in real trouble. But I want to tell you, the more I've learned about the workings of Satan, the filthier it is. There's no glory in deliverance. First of all, you got to get past all this stuff that says that's just charismatic. Well, then Jesus must have been a charismatic. And He's my Savior, and my Lord, and my Master. By the way, it's not charismatic, it's New Testament. Let me just simply say, once you get past that, then you have all of these misconceptions about this whole matter. And my prayer for this study is that as you study God's Word, the Holy Spirit will show you the truth, so you'll know how to pray. So you'll know how to engage in this war that all of us are in. Nobody's exempt. My father used to say, son, you can't get up early enough to outthink a thief. Let me tell you, when you begin to pray with folks that have been seriously demonized, and God comes to deliver them from all this junk, it is trash. It is filthy. It's sordid. There's no glory in it. You feel like you want to go take a bath afterwards. It's awful. Satan is that mean, and that vile, and that nasty. So this is not about glory. Except to the glory of the Lord Jesus. This is His work. Amen. The deception of the devil. Satan is about deception. All that he does, his schemes, are to cause you and me to believe his lies instead of the truth of God. Remember, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We find a wonderful passage again in 2 Colossians 2, verse 8 through 10. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. The word philosophy here means the love of wisdom, or the love of the world's wisdom. The Bible tells us that he who is a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Is that true? It is if God's Word says it. We are not to pursue power. We are to pursue truth. Philosophies, empty deceptions, traditions of men, elementary principles of the world. You ever heard this? I can't help it. That's just the way God made me. You ever heard that? I lose my temper. My daddy lost his temper, so I can't help it. We just have problems with temper in our family. It's our family trait to be stingy. Well, that's our spiritual gift. My dad's a tightwad, and I'm going to be a tightwad. So many ways the enemy deceives us to believe his lies. What's the truth? God created us, folks, for His image. You and I were saved not to become like our fathers. You and I have been saved to become like the Lord Jesus. You and I are to be holy even as He is holy. I don't know why we're so afraid of the word holiness. That's why you were saved. I wasn't saved just to get to heaven. That's just someplace else I'm going to live. And it's wonderful. But I have been saved to become like Jesus. So every hindrance, every block to keep me from becoming like Jesus is a work of the enemy. My. You ever heard this one? God helps those that help themselves. Ever heard that? If you teach your children that, you will be a part of their destruction. You will aid in their destruction. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. That's what the Scriptures teach. My grandfather used to put it this way. Faith is fine, but you can't eat faith. You got to have that cracker. Now, is that Scripture? What does the Word of God say? But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever is not of faith is sin. That's what the Bible says. But it sounds religious, doesn't it? Sounds pretty good. And we buy into these philosophies of the world. Whatever is not of faith is sin. My. Satan uses these worldly philosophies to keep us from the freedom in Christ that God has given to us through the finished work of Christ on Calvary. You can see it yourself. The man is deceived if he is a hearer and not a doer of the Word of God. James 1:22. He is deceived if he says he has no sin. 1 John 1:8. He is deceived when he thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. Galatians 6:3. He is deceived when he thinks himself to be wise with the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians 3:18. He is deceived by seeming to be religious when an unbridled tongue reveals his true condition. James 1:26. He is deceived if he thinks he will sow and not reap what he sows. Galatians 6:7. Oh, that young people could hear this. Certain as you put your hand on a hot stove, you will get burned. If you continue in sin, it will destroy you. He is deceived if he thinks the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. And he is deceived if he thinks that contact with sin will not have its effect upon him. 1 Corinthians 15:33. We speak to our son every Sunday. One of the most profound things that Bobby has learned through his journey, he said, "Daddy, I just didn't understand how serious sin was." That's profound. Because behind our disobedience is a whole force of darkness that is more cunning and wicked and powerful than any and all of us put together to drive us into the darkness, to lure us, to push us into the darkness. Satan's main weapon is deception. The good news is Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to set the captives free. And the more you study about the schemes of the enemy, the more you will learn about the Lord Jesus. This is not about the devil or demons. It's about our wonderful Master, who is Lord of all.
Thank you, Rob. We'll pick up the next part of this topic next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll be able to find all the books on this topic. Hear today's broadcast again. Sign up to receive weekly podcasts, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. We also have a toll-free number where you can call us so we can talk to you, pray for you, and encourage you. The number is 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. And now, here's Rob with some closing words for us today.
Those of you who are interceding for a prodigal, for a wayward son or daughter, we want you to know we understand your pain and sorrow. We've been through that journey. Most of us have. And I want to speak a special prayer for you today that the Lord will minister to you. Many of us understand what it is to bathe our pillows with tears each night in that dark place. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that even in the throne room of hell, Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is above all. And Lord, as much as we love our children, you even love them more. You said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So Lord, we love you for loving our children. We ask you today to be merciful to them. We ask you to turn their hearts to you. Give our children a heart for God. And we'll praise you forever for what we see and what we don't see. But we'll thank you for the wonderful, merciful, loving, saving, delivering Savior that you are. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Let us know how we can help you. Please go to the website, theinvisiblewar.org. Let us have your prayer requests. Let us know specifically the names of those children that are on your heart today. Also, call us. We have a toll-free number, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. May God richly bless you in the journey. And thank you for tuning in today and listening to The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.